This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, February 22nd. A new ARES plan was adopted by the ARRL Board of Directors at its annual meeting in January. The board's Public Service Enhancement Working Group, or PSEWG, spent more than 3 years crafting the ARES plan, which, ARRL officials believe, provides a much-needed update of the program's role in public service and emergency preparedness in the 21st century. Concerns focused on bringing ARES into alignment with the National Incident Management System and Incident Command System and creating more consistent and standardized ARES training requirements. With input from ARES members and a peer review team and the assistance of emergency response officials with some partner organizations, the working group came up with a plan that provides guidelines to ensure that ARES remains a service of organized, trained, qualified, and credentialed amateur radio volunteers who can provide public service partners with radio communication expertise, capability, and capacity. Based on input from ARES participants, the training requirements in the final ARES plan consist of the free FEMA Professional Development Series. The series comprises these independent study, or IS, courses, as well as the ARRL's EC-001 and EC-016 emergency communication courses. As part of adopting the ARES plan, the ARRL board approved a proposal to make the ARRL EC courses free for ARES members. The ARES plan outlines a 3-tiered membership structure based on increased responsibility levels and accompanying training requirements. Although the tiers are not a required path, they serve to define 3 distinct ways to participate in the ARES program. It's up to the participant to determine his or her level of involvement. In recognizing the local and regional nature of emergency communications needs in disaster response activations, the plan notes that training requirements are ultimately the responsibility of the section manager, with each manager approving training for local ARES teams as local conditions and needs dictate. The ARES plan also highlights the relationship between ARES and the national traffic system. The ARES plan stresses that ARES participants are not first responders, and it encourages ARES leaders to develop and grow their group's partnerships with state emergency management agencies and officials. The FCC is reminding electronic device retailers that suppliers' declaration of conformity procedures, abbreviated SDOC, are now in effect and being enforced. In an FCC enforcement advisory released February 15th, the FCC Enforcement Bureau pointed out that marketers of RF devices may be subject to new compliance requirements provided in the SDOC procedures. This would potentially impact some amateur radio equipment. 2 separate procedures are in place to address equipment authorization of RF devices, SDOC, and certification. In July 2017, the FCC amended some rules regarding the authorization of RF equipment, and those changes became effective in November of that year, with a 1-year transition period to phase out 2 equipment authorization procedures, verification and declaration of conformity, and replace them with SDOC. The transition period ended on November 2, 2018. According to the FCC Office of Engineering and Technology, the list of devices subject to SDOC covers, quote, equipment that does not contain a radio transmitter and contains only digital circuitry, such as computer peripherals, microwave ovens, industrial scientific medical equipment, switching power supplies, LED light bulbs, radio receivers, and TV interface devices. The FCC said for equipment that contains both unintentional radiators and intentional radiators, the unintentional radiator portion generally may be authorized under either SDOC or certification, while intentional radiators, such as radio transmitters, are typically required to be certified. In a separate enforcement advisory released on February 15th, the FCC cautioned LED sign marketers to comply with FCC rules, noting that the EB has, quote, observed a growing number of companies, unquote, marketing non-compliant LED signs. In general, LED sign panels are subject to SDOC procedures. Russia is going to disconnect from the internet, but it is only for a brief test. Authorities and major internet providers in Russia intend to disconnect the country from the internet as part of a planned experiment purportedly aimed at enhancing national security. The stated reason for the experiment is to gather insights and provide feedback and modifications to a proposed law introduced in the Russian parliament in December. A draft of the law mandates that Russian internet providers ensure the independence of the Russian internet, or RUNET, and to disconnect the country from the rest of the internet in the event of foreign aggression. Russian telecom firms would be required to install technical means to reroute all Russian internet traffic to exchange points that have been approved, which would ensure that traffic between Russian users stays within Russia and is not rerouted to servers abroad where it could be intercepted. Eric Anderson, K9EU of Naperville, Illinois, has assumed the role of manager for the 9th District Incoming QSL Bureau. He is a longtime volunteer with the Bureau, as well as a noted and accomplished DXer and contester. He succeeds John Mayers, K9QVB, who served as manager for 2 decades and will remain a sorter and letter dispatcher. The 9th District Bureau handles more than 45,000 DX QSL cards each month for U.S. amateurs in the continental U.S. who have nines in their call signs, regardless of where they live. The new Bureau address is NIDXA, P.O. Box 125, Naperville, Illinois, 60566. 76-year-old yachtswoman Jean Socrates, VE0JS/KC2IOV, passed the southern tip of Africa, some 300 miles to the north, on Valentine's Day as she forged on toward Australia and New Zealand in her 38-foot sailing vessel, Nereida. While underway, Socrates keeps in touch with a community of friends via amateur radio, and she's sticking to a schedule of 7.160 MHz at 0230 UTC daily. Socrates reported making contact with ham radio friends on the U.S. West Coast on February 17th. She's been blogging her progress. The retired math teacher and United Kingdom native also is no stranger to circumnavigating the globe, having already become the oldest woman to complete a solo, nonstop, unassisted round-the-world voyage. Ham radio served as her link to terra firma during her earlier adventures. Since 2013, she's made 2 additional attempts to become the oldest person to circumnavigate the Earth, the goal she's now attempting to achieve.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
If you are a trusted QSL user, be sure you update the database. The ARRL has added JO97, FO99, and QO100 to the list of valid satellites. If you're using a logging program, you will have to perform the update in order to transmit any contacts on these satellites to LOTW. We have another new distance record, this time Gustavo, PR8KW, in GI77, and Jose, EB1AO, in IN52, set a record on AO91 of 6,133 kilometers. Congratulations to both of them. Are you new to satellites or a seasoned veteran at them? In either case, there might be something of interest on the AMSAT.org website under Station and Operating Hints. The URL is amsat.org/station-and-operating-hints. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
This is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, February 22nd. The sun may be spotless, but that doesn't mean it stopped blasting solar winds our way. Expect some minor geomagnetic disturbances on the HF bands over the next several days, but really nothing serious. The solar flux index remains at 70, which is somewhat good news for DX conditions on 40, 30, and 20 meters. This weekend is the North American RTTY QSO party, and those keyboard contesters will likely find their best conditions on 40 and 20 meters. On VHF and UHF, the hotspots at the moment are in the Deep South, from Louisiana east to Georgia. In fact, parts of southern Florida may see some pretty strong band openings on 2 meters and up.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.